Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom and you're listening to Newscast.
Hello, I'm Catherine Brondon, Chief Executive, Public Sector Pensions Authority.
And I'm Gerry Carter, I'm the Chair of the Public Sector Pensions Authority.
So the changes that we're proposing is to increase the level of public sector pensions, so increase the rate at which pension is accrued at, and also reduce contributions. And this has come about from a cost-sharing evaluation that the PSPA has undertaken, which looks over a set period of time how the changes in the cost of providing a pension have increased or decreased. This latest cost-sharing valuation has shown that there has been a decrease in the cost of pensions, and hence that decrease has resulted in a saving. And the PSPA, after considering and consulting with its various stakeholders, has determined that that saving will be passed on to scheme members, and by way of reducing contributions and increasing the level of pension.
Why was that saving decided to be passed back onto the scheme members? I mean, was there a choice there?
Well, not really. The scheme, the cost sharing sits under legislation, and the PSPA is obliged to follow that legislation. And if there had been an increase in costs, then it would have been also obliged to pass on those increasing costs that sits under that legislation. So the PSPA did consider the costs. It did adjust those costs. There were some adjustments that it made to the assumptions, but it has determined to share what it believes to be a fair share of that saving back with members.
And the way it's decided to share that saving is from increasing the benefits rather than decreasing the contribution. So why was that decision made?
Well, that's correct. There were two reasons behind that. The first was that if we decreased the benefits significantly, that would have been a significant reduction in treasury cash flow at a time when the budget's very tight. And secondly, we felt that we wanted to avoid what we would call the roller coaster effect, where if the cost sharing results in a big decrease this time and it results in a big increase next time, for example, that you could have a situation where members to the schemes don't have any certainty as to what their contributions are going to be. The analogy is, you know, every month you pay your mortgage, you pay your pension contributions and you budget for them because you know what they are. And now if there are huge fluctuations in them, it makes it very difficult and very unfair on people to have to adjust their budget. So we try to iron out the bumps, as it were, and keep it on an even keel. And I suspect that might be the template should there be an increase. I'm not saying it will be, but I think it'll be a starting point. So we're trying to keep it on an even keel. That if people work hard, the end of the month, they know they've got bills to pay, they know they've got their mortgage, their pensions, and if they know what they are, it's easier to budget for them. So it was those two factors. When we went to the consultation process with the representatives of the employees, I think they were pretty much on board with the way that we were doing this. They were very cognizant that money is tight within government coffers. We had to look at alternatives. They were also very keen to avoid massive increases and decreases in contributions. So it was on that basis that set the sort of blueprints as to how we were going to go about this.
And a lot of these, the decreases here were thought to be a result of reforms that have dated back to 2012. So can you just remind us of what some of those reforms are and some of those changes that have taken place in that time?
Yes, in 2012, the PSPA introduced its unified scheme, which brought together over 20 schemes into one. And at that point, all new members were asked to pay a higher contribution for a lower level of pension. And then the existing members, to protect the pension that they had before, were also asked to pay a higher contribution. So in general, since 2012, the unified scheme has encompassed lots of other pension schemes paying a higher contribution for a lower rate of pension. And now a majority of our scheme members sit within the cheapest section of that scheme. Likewise for our teachers and police schemes, they've also seen reforms which have reduced the rate at which pension grows, but also in exchange they have paid a higher contribution.
So when it comes to the decrease we've seen, how confident are you that it is as a result of the reforms that have been put in place or actually the state of the island's economy?
Well, we'd like to say it's down to the reforms, but I think a factor is the state of the island's economy. It's a combination of the two. Now, we don't have to analyse in what proportion it's the reforms and what proportion it's the state of the economy. We think it's predominantly the reforms, but the state of the island's economy, particularly in relation to things like salary growth not matching the assumptions, that would be a factor that has affected this. So it's a combination of both, really.
And there will be questions asked when you look at the current economic climate, and there'll be people in private sector roles whose pensions aren't going to be benefiting, and we'll be asking questions about why those in public sector are. So how would you respond to that?
I think that's absolutely understandable point of view. But at the moment, the government is committed to keep the pension schemes that we have. The schemes have been reformed, so members are paying a larger contribution rate for the pension that they have. Obviously, the public sector pensioners are in good pension schemes, but then the public sector has to ensure that it's able to attract other public sector workers from other jurisdictions. So there is an expectation, one could say, that they want a pension scheme that's equal to the pension schemes that they may have in the UK.
Well, the government are committed to the public sector pension schemes. That has been the position for an awful long time. There have been considerable reforms, considerable increases in contributions. I think the contributions have gone up by a lot more than the savings this time. And the benefits have gone down a lot more than the increases this time. The net position has been, there's been a seismic shift in terms of what people contribute and what they achieve from their pensions. This is part of a bigger process that is done to achieve fairness in terms of any changes in the costs, which was set out some time ago after an exhausted process of consultation between the employees and the employers, was approved by Tynwald in 2020. And although it might grate that on this particular occasion, on this particular snapshot, there is a saving, it is part and parcel, a fundamental part and parcel of an overall package which has significantly increased contributions to public sector pensions and reduced benefits. So it's part of a bigger picture. You can't just take one little piece out of a jigsaw and complain about it.
I think it's also important to add that the public sector pension schemes are here obviously to attract and retain public sector workers. So those public sector workers that may be coming from other jurisdictions have an expectation that their pension schemes will be on a similar basis to the schemes that we provide here on the Isle of Man. So that's also very important that we have a good pension scheme to offer them as well.
And this is, of course, subject to the will of Tynwald. It's going to be in next month's Tynwald. So what happens if politicians reject these proposals?
Well, we're back to the drawing board. We will be having a seminar with all members of Tynwald on the 5th of December to explain why we are proposing what we are proposing. And we're also, we would say, acting in accordance with the will of Tynwald under the cost-sharing arrangements that Tynwald approved in 2020. It is a matter for Tynwald. It would be wholly wrong for us to sort of, as it were, lobby Tynwald or try and put any pressure on them. It's their vote. All we can do is present the facts to Tynwald and present our arguments as to why we think this is the right thing to do. But ultimately, Tynwald, they are the body that are elected. They're the ones who have to go and face the voters and have a democratic mandate from the voters. So it's completely correct that it's Tynwald's decision, not ours. There's a lot of taxpayers' money involved, and it's right and proper that Tynwald should determine it. We hope it's going to go this way, but it would not be our position to encroach upon the democratic process, Tim will must look at this objectively, hopefully with the best information that we can provide them with, and we'll see what happens. But in answer to your question, we're back to the drawing board. If Timwell don't, we'll have to go back to the employees' representatives and try and reconstruct something that may be more... I mean, one would hope that if it goes against us, that there'd be some sort of steer as to what might work. But we just, it's just because of Timwell, so we'll have to see how it goes.
And there will be some people as well saying, well, there is currently a funding gap. Why couldn't the savings here be used to plug that gap?
They're two different animals. The funding gap's a historical matter that's arisen over the last 40 years or so, and relates to previous employees. The whole purpose of the cost sharing and the reforms are to make the pensions going forward sustainable. We just have to work our way through the funding gap. There are two matters that will resolve the funding gap, and that's time, when more and more people that will pass away, they won't be eligible. And the other one is inflation, because inflation will inflate away the impact of the funding gap as a proportion of government spending. But that's going, there's no silver bullet. I think Mr. Thomas said famously, there's no silver bullet here. It's going to, it's taken 40 years to accumulate. It's going to take 30 or 40 years to work its way through the system, unfortunately.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.